started writing Food for the Archons as a book of despair after watching my father die in 2013. During his transition, I experienced a series of paranormal and psychic events that left me feeling that I had either gone completely crazy or fell into humanity's darkest secret. I spent the next 5 years conducting extensive research, and I quickly learned that what I had experienced was real. My journey brought me to an understanding that showed me that despite the terrifying reality of an unseen predator, we as humans have a forgotten power. Just knowing this brings us tremendous hope in what once seemed a dark reality. I wrote this book for me in hopes of gaining a better understanding of our reality and relationship to it. But my hope is that you will find as much value in reading it as I did in writing it. I am human, food for the Archons, humanity's psychic connections, simulated realities, parallel worlds, and the manipulation of mankind. It's available on Amazon.com and at SixthSenseMedia.net and wherever books are sold. I'm Dennis Nappy II, reminding you to let your intuition be your guide. Thank you.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain. But you feel it. You felt it your entire life. But there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there.
Reiki, psychic abilities, intuition, mental health, creativity, and even a little bit of fiction. What do they all have in common? We're going to talk about that on this episode of the Seeker Podcast. Dennis Nappy II. Hello, my friends. It has been some time since I've been able to get on the air. I feel like these shows are going further and further apart here between each episode. I promise you it's not on purpose. My intent is actually the opposite, to have some things planned out. Life, as you know, has just been a bit challenging for me. My last conversation with all of you was regarding my mental health. I want to give an update on how things have been progressing through that journey with some of the medication that I've been taking and how it's impacted me and my own intuitive and psychic practices here. In addition, I'm going to talk a little bit about Reiki and my Reiki practice. Part of this will be a bit of a plug or a commercial because I'm launching some services and some training in the near future. So just want to be fully transparent about that. Some of this will be talking about opportunities to connect with me for some Reiki treatment sessions and training and beyond, which I'm very excited about. But the bulk of it, I just want to talk about some experiences that I've been having, some things that are on my mind, really, that I've been dealing with. Mental health, it's up and down, but it's a lot better than it was the beginning of the summer. It's a lot better than it was the last time I spoke with all of you. The medication I'm on overall, it's made a difference. It's made an impact in my life. I was terrified that by going on meds and altering how my brain operates, that I was going to lose my ability to remote view, my ability to do Reiki, my ability to meditate, be intuitive, and really my connection as an empath. Being an empath is a burden and a curse. It's a burden, a curse, but also a gift. Excuse me, I'm saying the same thing. And for a short amount of time, I really wasn't feeling anything, which was a nice break for me because the feelings got to be too intense. And that seems to be a running theme in my life that I'll talk about in a moment here. But I was on this new medication. It had been a couple of weeks, and I was like, man, I really can't connect to people. I can't feel the way I used to. And that's the equivalent, I think, of for me losing my sense of touch or my sense of smell. I rely on my intuition, particularly my ability to perceive emotions in everything that I do. And I wasn't really feeling that connection, and I was thinking about it. And I was with a friend one day, and they were going through something, and they were really in their feelings. And I'm sitting there just having a conversation. I'm calm, I'm relaxed. And literally, the only way I can describe it is like a rolling tidal wave, this wave of energy. I felt it roll across the room and it hit me hard. And as soon as it hit me, immediately I went from like just listening and offering some guidance to being like stern and aggressive and like, here's what you need to do. Here's how you solve the problem. My face shifted, my energy shifted. I got about 10 seconds into this sudden, you know, aggressive lecture that I was giving, and I went, whoa, this isn't me. I said, that's you. And my friend knows, you know, I'm sensitive and stuff. And they're like, yeah, duh. And I went through that realization of, okay, I'm still obviously able to connect and perceive people's emotions, but the experience was very intense for me. It was rewarding in the fact that, like, okay, I can still have this ability. And it was really neat that this experience, just the way the energy washed in. Normally I walk in a room and I just start getting impressions and feelings, and it's so gradual I don't realize it. All I can say is this, I mean, it hit me like a truck. Like, I just felt it come across the room and just smack me. So that was a really neat experience. But it also brings me to, I think, one of the greatest challenges I have in my life is taking on the emotions of others. And I have a video out here in the YouTube world floating around somewhere. I did a meditation where I was saying, I release you. And that was very helpful for me. But really just regularly taking things on sometimes to the point where I think where I'm at right now is you lose sense of yourself. What do I need? What do I want? Who am I? Because there's so many demands that are put on me, not just as a father of three, but as a as an administrator at a school. I work very closely with special needs children, children with behavior challenges, and again, emotional staff. I've talked about this multiple times, but I'm still feeling that. I'm still navigating that, and I want to talk about the insights in a few moments here that my meditations have been giving me. I guess around last, I mean, I've been meditating for a very long time, and it was, a few years before I realized, like, okay, I can do this and get something out of it. And I guess I'd say I started meditating regularly, meaning every single morning when I wake up, I do yoga and then I meditate. That's been pretty consistent for at least 5 years now. And for the longest time, for several years, I was doing guided meditations. There was a Tony Robbins priming exercise I used to do in the morning for a while. And that really got me in the mindset and the consistency to build that muscle. And I think if you struggle with meditation, number one, I think yoga is huge because it if you you're it is a moving meditation and it gives you something to focus on, especially if you have something, like ADD or ADHD, or you just sit down and have trouble feeling an experience. Meditation isn't about clearing your mind and making it empty. Sometimes that's the goal, but sometimes it's just observing your thoughts or observing a particular thought or holding a particular thought. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. But I still have days, this past week, I've had a couple of days where I sit down and my mind just races for the 20, 30 minutes that I'm sitting there. So it can be challenging, but I encourage you, find something that you feel good doing and stick with it. And I would start with something guided. And over time, consistently, you'll find you can branch out on your own. So I guess it was about maybe a year ago, just about a year ago, I shifted and I started experimenting with Reiki self-care. As a Reiki teacher, I encourage my students, and I was encouraged always to do Reiki on yourself every single morning. And you sit down and you're meditating. There's different Reiki specific meditations, but one of the things I fell in the habit of doing was administering Reiki to my chakra points. And I noticed that when I go through my chakra points, I was getting a much deeper connection and much more insight into myself. And over the past year, these experiences have gotten stronger and more profound, and have been incredibly insightful, and enjoyable. And I'm learning a lot. And in addition to that, my Reiki practice, my ability to give a Reiki session has increased my, or has improved my performance as a remote viewer has also improved because I'm getting just more and more comfortable in those altered states and what I am capable of doing when I'm in those that state of awareness. And I want to share some examples here of some of the things that I've gone through with my meditations. One of the most valuable tools I have that is journaling. I try to journal after every meditation. I don't catch every one, but my journaling has improved drastically. My ability to recall an experience, just kind of, it's kind of like remembering a dream, has gotten a lot better as well in recording this information. And one of the things I started doing, it's a very simple tool, but it helps me to visualize things as I'm recording them. And it I don't know, I just feel a deeper connection to it. As I'm recording things, what I do is I have different color pens now that I use in my journals. And so when I'm at my crown chakra, I'll use that purple or that indigo. And then, you know, moving down through each respective chakra point, I write in a different color and I draw a little, you know, wheel of energy next to each bullet point that I'm recording for each chakra with the information that I'm getting or the experience that I had. And sometimes I don't get anything at certain points, and that's fine. It's not anything I need to know in that particular day. And I've been sketching. I'm a horrible artist, but I'm starting to get visuals now. I've never been one that gets visuals, and now I'm having experiences that in some cases feel fully psychedelic. They're fully immersive. And that's been a really rewarding experience for me to get into that state of consciousness and to start visualizing and seeing things, and then to have it be meaningful to me as well. And just the other day, you know, I'm sitting here talking about how hard it is being empathic. And I want to read one of the journal entries, just a piece of it that I experienced and I wrote down. And I saw a cage up at my crown chakra. It was a black cage, and inside there was a purple light, purple like fuzzy orb in there. And I wrote, "My light is in a cage. There's so many life forms drawn to it, drowning it. The light expands, but at its core, the cage is still there, with the center and source still trapped. I ask how to be free. Diminish the light, stop projecting, and just listen." As I'm watching this experience, I also saw come to this cage. It was like one of those zombie movies, zombie hordes, just this mass of bodies, just these brown forms just come like cover the cage and the light that I was projecting. And it describes lately how I've been feeling. I feel pulled in so many directions through my job. There's just a constant demand, a constant need. So many people have these emotional needs and these emotional challenges that I'm stepping into to try to solve. And it's blocking me from my own ventures, my own light. I find I get so focused on helping other people. And when I help people, I'm stepping into, and I've said this before, I'm almost taking on their problems. I take on the emotion of the problem, and then I find ways to try to solve it and fix it. Challenges with that is sometimes people don't want you to step in and solve their problem. So that's a boundary I've had to learn over the years. I need to determine first, what do you want from me? Do you want me to just listen? The other challenge for me is when I take it on, well, I'm taking on that emotional baggage, and it's very draining. And I feel that the more you project that light and that energy without proper defenses, the more moths are drawn to the flame, so to speak. And that was what this visual showed me. Now, we can look at this and say, you know what, that was just the way your subconscious is interpreting things you already know. You know, I'm thinking with my remote viewer hat on, you know, we do remote viewing sessions where we're blind. We don't know what the target is. Therefore, there's no way our conscious mind can step in and put an overlay in there. But that's not necessarily what this is. What this is my mind finding a way to interpret a situation that I don't fully understand that's meaningful to me. So I think that what I was shown or what I saw when I'm in this altered state, my light in a cage, I'm trapped, and I do feel trapped, meaning I'm held down or I'm held back or I'm restricted from the things that I want to do because all these people are using, not using, I'm giving them my energy for whatever it is that they need. And I need to at times withdraw, pull my light back, and use it, hold it within myself, and search and find who I am again, what it is that I need, because I lose sight of that, especially lately. I've really been feeling just like I don't know what I want to do anymore, because I'm constantly working on someone else's need, someone else's project. And that's hard as a healer, as a teacher, because there's always somebody who needs you. And how do you say no, right? Because everything, especially when you're feeling their emotional state, everything feels heavy, everything feels important, and you don't want to let people down. And you tie that into ADHD, and there's the mental health piece that ties into it, right? What's one of the things that we do? It's people-pleasing, because we have this fear of rejection. Tie that into something called RSD, rejection syndrome, or rejection sensitivity disorder, where even the perception of rejection for us is magnified by 1,000%. So all these things that I'm learning about myself tied into my sensitivity to energy and emotions and intuition has created a perfect storm at times for me. And I'm not saying that to all of you to say, hey, don't explore this stuff. I wouldn't trade the things I've learned and experienced for anything, almost anything. I wouldn't, because when I'm doing this kind of work, or when I'm exploring these abilities, I really do feel happy. I really do feel proud. And I'm able to help people with it. I'm able to entertain people with it at times when I talk about my work here on YouTube. And that gives me, that fills me with a little bit of pride. My ego comes in a little bit, but I just enjoy doing it. I enjoy writing about it. I get so many ideas for stories and for books and things that I'm writing, which I'm working on all the time. My challenge is just getting it into production once it's done. So the insights that I've gained from all of this far outweigh the hardships, but the hardships, when they're hard, they're really hard for me. So a constant thing I'm working on is trying to find that balance. Just looking through, I mean, it's been a theme over the last 2 weeks, several different drawings that I've come up with of like me in a cage at different chakra points. Just continuing to call those moments of reflection for me. Really come to value these Reiki meditations that I've been doing. And I had an experience just the other day, just yesterday. Today's November 20th, so on the 19th. I had this experience. I'm going to share a little bit of it. But as soon as I closed my eyes, I started getting this visual. And it was an absolutely beautiful thing. It was like this brown volcano-shaped mountain, and coming out of it was this perfectly yellow, intense light. Have you ever seen those search beams that they have for events and things? It was like that, but 1,000% more intense. Didn't hurt to look at because it was all focused skyward, and the light was so thick it had mass. Like you touched it and you could feel the energy coming from it. And there were several forms, I'll say forms, life forms, that were drawn to it, and all having a variety of different encounters with this light that was shooting skyward. And I approached it and I realized a few things. Number one, that the experience is what you make of it. If I was afraid of this experience, then I was about to step into something very dark. If I wasn't afraid, then I was about to have a totally different learning experience, either experience I would learn from. But if I wasn't in a place of fear, which I was not, then the experience would be perceived much differently as something more positive. And I went into this in a, I'd say, a healthy mental state. And right before I approached the light, I did a scan of my body, and I found out that my heart on that particular day yesterday was what was weighing me down. That's where my heaviness was being trapped. my mind, my crown, my everything felt much clearer. Usually it's the other way around for me, but that, which was surprising, it felt clear. So I stepped in and I realized that those lower heavy energy points stayed and everything else lifted upwards into this light. And it was this intense experience of radiation. As I step in, it was almost like you felt your body melting away as it's just burning you upwards. And it, again, this wasn't a bad experience, but during that process, I'm going, man, if I could easily become afraid of this, and then this will be a terrible thing. But I wasn't. I held on to that. Like, this is an experience I'm having. I'm going to learn something. And I just feel myself shooting upwards as layers of myself are really melting away. And all of a sudden I'm up and I'm floating. And I look down and I see that energy of light shooting off the earth, and I'm above the earth. And I see other beams of light around the planet. And I see other, I say bodies, not in a lifeless dead way, but other forms shooting up as well. And I'm just looking down below now. And all of a sudden I get sucked backwards deeper into space. And now I'm out in the middle of nowhere. And my first thought was, well, I'm alone. I'm out here in the middle of space and I'm all alone. And then fear kicked in and I was afraid. But it lasted not even a second. And then I realized all of the fear that I'm feeling has nothing to do with me. Every fear that I had inside of me was tied to someone or something, quote, back on earth. Had absolutely nothing to do with me. It was a worry over someone else's problem. None of it was me. And I let that go. And for a moment, there was nothing. I was free. And it was so light and it was so incredible to just be floating like that and to not have a worry, to not have anything to be afraid of. And then in a second, I got sucked into this. This sounds like a sci-fi movie, right? But this was a really cool immersive experience. I got pulled backwards into a wormhole. And all of a sudden, I started bouncing between these different worlds. I kept seeing these different scenes, like three or four of them, beautiful areas. I end up here, end up there. And then all of a sudden, I popped back and I was at the base of that brown volcano of light again, just laying there. And then I went on and had, you know, other things that I explored, which I'm not going to share here, but I did get to go explore that portion of my heart where I said felt heavy and was given some pretty cool visuals and some work that I needed to do to clear some things out. So why am I sharing this? I'm sharing this again because I want to promote meditation. And everybody has different experiences when they meditate. You may not ever have an experience like I had. I may never have an experience like you have. I want to just stress that that's okay. There are days, you know, one of the things I'm learning now too, I mean, just learning, there are days that I sit down and those are the experiences that I want to have, right? The full visual psychedelic, I'm out there exploring the universe and getting all these cool messages and communicating. That's my goal every morning before I go to work. Most mornings I don't get that deep. And I found I was starting to feel disappointed. And I had to take a step back and I realized that not every experience needs to be fantastic and mystical. I need to just go with what's coming through to me because that's what I need in the moment. And sometimes it's very basic things that I'm going through where I'm thinking about a problem at work. And I tell myself, I don't want to deal with work stuff here, but I need to go through whatever keeps cycling through my body and my mind to clear that so I can problem solve it and be gone with it because that's weighing on me. That's weighing in my psyche and my aura, whatever you want to say. So I've come to embrace those meditation sessions that feel mundane and boring. They're never mundane or boring, but the ones that feel less fantastic, right? I mean, this was a pretty cool experience I had here. Not everyone is like that. Some days I just go in and I'm not getting much. So I just go through where I feel Reiki is needed, and I administer Reiki to those chakra points, or I'll just start head to toe or toe to head and give myself Reiki. And sometimes I get sucked into this awesome experience, and sometimes I'm just given Reiki because I need energy, and that's the extent of it. And that's okay. So I've had to become comfortable with what I was initially considering a failure. I've come to realize that it's not, because I'm still having an experience. I'm still doing the work. I'm still giving energy and Reiki where it's needed. And it's been very helpful to me. In addition, through going through that every single day through my Reiki practice and working on myself, it has helped me to improve and have a better set of tools to navigate when I'm working with someone who needs Reiki. I've developed a system now where I can do remote Reiki, which is we can be on a Zoom or we cannot be on a Zoom. And I just tell you, hey, at this time, I'm going to work a session and I'm going to administer some healing and end up gathering some information as well. And here's where it gets really cool is I have a little handout that I use to record as I'm going through this process here. And it's just a drawing of a man. It's got the front view and the back view. And as I go through this now, and I'm actually probing the different areas that I'm working and using my different color pens, because that's been a lot of fun with the pens, I find that it becomes a very similar process for me to remote viewing, in terms of how I'm getting data, how I'm getting information, how I'm recording it. Now, it's different from remote viewing, obviously, because I'm not going within the structure and the protocols, but there is a structure and a protocol that I'm developing as part of my Reiki practice when I go through things. And I've gotten very good feedback from the people that I've worked with on this as well. It's been very rewarding for me to sit down and go into one of those sessions and just navigate and just see what comes back. So I've really been enjoying that. So of the things that this is my commercial piece now here, but the things that I'm offering through Sixth Sense Reiki, you can find it up through my website, sixthsensemedia.net, and then there's a Reiki tab. You click on that and you can click on schedule a Reiki session, and it'll have some information about the three services that I'm offering right now. And one is a full-blown, full Reiki session through Zoom right now. We'll connect about an hour long, go through the whole session with you. The next one is a chakra clearing session. It's about 30 minutes where we'll connect through Zoom and I just go through your chakra points and, you know, administer Reiki and see what else comes through during that and create some clearing for any blockages that may be in there. And then the last one is a remote session where we don't connect through Zoom, but I sit down and I'll perform a remote Reiki session. And that's where I'm recording all that data on that sheet, which I can then send out to you. Once the session is over, that will hopefully give you some insights into whatever it is that that you're working through, that's going on within your body, within your psyche. So that's what I have right now in terms of services that I'm getting ready to launch. And you can find more information about it. Again, go to sixthsensemedia.net and click on the Reiki tab, and then you can go through scheduling. There's a form that you fill out, and then I'll reach out to you through email, and we can discuss any other details that we need to. But sixthsensemedia.net will get you there. And again, it's been just tremendously rewarding for me. I think one of the benefits of having these two disciplines between Reiki and remote viewing and being empathic is the comfortability I have, the foundation that I have now in understanding that I can do a remote Reiki session and at a minimum access information, because in remote viewing, I've learned time and space is not a factor, right? I can send my awareness to any point in time, any point in space, and gather and bring back data that's accurate. So it's the same thing with a Reiki session. So you could be sitting in Australia and I can sit here in Pennsylvania in the United States and still connect with you. So that's been very rewarding for me, seeing the overlap between the two intuitive disciplines there. And it's helped me, I think, tremendously as this continues to go. But it's been overall just a tremendous process for me. And it's something I'd like to share with all of you out there if you're interested or are looking for some support, please reach out. Some other things that are going through my mind in terms of creativity with Reiki, with meditation, with the work that I do. Obviously, I have a very creative side with my books, with my writing. I've gained a lot of ideas that I'm putting into some of my work here as a writer, which has been a lot of fun to explore. For those of you that read my first work of fiction, it's a very short short read called The Hive, the part one, The Virus, The Infected, and The Immune. That was inspired by Edward Reardon's QAnon sessions, that and COVID. Combining those two things, my conspiracy brain was running crazy, and I wrote this book quite quickly, actually. And I've been working very hard on book two since the summer, and I'm probably 500 words away from being done with the first draft of book two, so I can work on getting that out. This book is probably at about 50,000 words for this one, so I guess it should qualify. Barry just makes it in as a novel, but I'm excited about this project, exploring more consciousness and awareness and a whole bunch of other neat themes that I'm working into it. So just a teaser on that one coming out. But I'm thinking about lately, Dolores Cannon. She's been showing up on my YouTube feed. And she is a woman who, she did a lot of channeling work throughout her career and came back with these fantastic stories about the afterlife, about the soul before it's reincarnated, creating these contracts with people, and planning out how your life is going to go for your karmic lessons that you need to learn. And she's also encountered or shared stories of past lives of people living on other worlds as other types of beings and the experiences that they've had. I haven't read all of her books, but at a minimum, I found that work to be so incredibly entertaining. But the other piece of that, and this I'm speaking somewhat to the critics out there of this kind of work, because that, you know, that's my paranoid anxiety mind always worrying people are going to look at me and be like, ah, that's fake, that's not real. I know that it is, but I know that it is real, but I always worry about that stuff. But in listening to Dolores Cannon, who tells a fantastic story, fantastic meaning it's out there, much like some of the things I talk about, they're out there. On some levels, does it matter? Does it matter if what she's saying is actual fact? And I don't mean that in the sense that she's being deceptive, because I don't think that she's being deceptive. I believe that she is genuinely reporting on her experience. Now, is that experience coming from a place of truth and actuality, or is it coming from a place of creativity and imagination? Or is it a combination of both or something different? And at the end of the day, right now, how I feel is, does it matter? And why do I say that? Because think back, those of you truth seekers, years ago for many of you, and some of you are just, I'm sure we're all at different points on this path, but think back to those early days, especially when YouTube was starting to get big, and remember getting sucked into a thread and just being enthralled with the topic, whatever it was, UFO abductions, Atlantis, Lemuria was a big one, flat earth something, believe it or not, is something we've all, I'm sure, looked into. I'm not a believer in flat earth, but I learned a lot by exploring it. And that's my point. What growth happens when you listen to these stories? What happens to your mind? What happens to your awareness? What happens to your own belief in what's possible? And that, I think, is one of the real benefits of some of these stories that come out. It doesn't the point may not necessarily be to prove that something exists beyond us on a different planet. Maybe it's just to open your mind to new possibilities, to expand your awareness. Because If I didn't think my mind could access information outside of my five senses, if that was my belief, as many people hold, I wouldn't be able to remote view. I wouldn't be able to do Reiki. I wouldn't be able to do distance Reiki. I wouldn't be able to meditate and experience the things that I experience. And again, as I hinted at earlier, we can make the argument, well, it's probably just your imagination. Again, I don't think that it is, but again, doesn't matter because it's benefiting me. I'm learning from it. I'm growing from it. It benefits other people, the people I help, the people I serve, the people I work with. It's helpful to them. So does it matter? On some levels, yes, I get it. It does. But I think there is so much to be gained, as I say at the end of every podcast, keep an open mind, right? When our minds are open to what's possible instead of closed to what the limits are, I think we can have a whole new set of experiences that can be incredibly insightful and rewarding to us. Perfect example, and I don't mean this to be a plug, but my book, Food for the Archons, which was, you know, one of my biggest projects that I've done. That book started after my dad died. And that book, when I started writing that book was a book of despair, as I said in the commercial at the beginning of this podcast. But I was done. I fully believed with everything in me that we were nothing but cattle and there was nothing we could do about it. You know, the whole prison planet thing that a lot of us have gone through. That's why I encourage people, if you pick up my book, to read it all the way through to the end, because you can see the shift as I went through this very dark, long, dark night of the soul. You see my state of despair. You see my fear as I'm trying to prove that we're just a food source. And yet there's a thread. There's a spark that carries through the entire book. That spark was initially our energy, right? That energetic food source. But the more I learned about this spark, the more I realized what it was and what it allows us to be capable of. So that book that started with pure desperation ended with hope. How did I get to that point? It was through Reiki. When I was at one of my lowest points, I was signed up for to get my Reiki 1 attunement. And I've probably mentioned this on the show, but I went into that class, number one, thinking Reiki was a joke, and it was just some sales gimmick. I had no idea what it was. And I left there, I don't want to say changed that day, but with a seed planted that has grown in me ever since. An energetic seed that has grown. And what Reiki did was it gave me hope. And it showed me that, number one, this ability exists in all of us. And number two, it gave me a sense of control. It gave me a sense of focus, where before I was just wild all over the place, had no idea what to do or how to tap into intuition or psychic senses or anything like that. And Reiki was a great starting point for me. I don't say it's not too intense, because it's not in the beginning. It doesn't have to be. That doesn't mean you don't have intense experiences, but I had control over what I was doing and what was coming in and what I was doing with that information. And it was helpful to people in the process and healing and comforting and just overall very rewarding. So it was Reiki that really gave me that foundation and hope. And then later, years later, I stepped into remote viewing, which gave me, I'd say, more control over some of the things that I explore and that I do. So overall, it's been an incredible experience. So I'm sharing this because I think we have tools. It takes work to hone that skill set, to improve upon those tools. But the alternative is that running blind, responding to fear, being in that state of hopeless despair. And I think there's just so much more out there for us. And I feel that it was important for me to share all of this stuff, really, ranging from my mental health to my being empathic to my Reiki experience and even remote viewing. I think there's a lot we can do. And if you go back and listen to my earlier shows, I was always saying we need to develop this skill set, and we need to develop it now, because I've always believed that we're going into hard times. This isn't a doom and gloom statement, but we're in those hard times right now. Life isn't easy. There's a lot of stress points out there. There's a lot of heavy stuff going on in the world right now. But what's your focus? What are you focused on? And what are you putting out there? What are you projecting to the collective unconscious or subconscious, to the collective energy grid? Is it that state of fear and frustration and anxiety? Or are you taking time to put out that feeling of hope and inspiration and raw creativity? I think that's where our true power lies. And at some point, maybe we'll uncover the truth. Or maybe at least we'll have an experience that we can learn from and grow from. All right, friends. I'm going to end this one here. It was wonderful to be able to get on here and connect with you all again. I have another show coming up that I'm going to be talking about exploring the integration of AI with humanity. I know it's a theme that I always talk about on here, but I have some really fun ideas I want to talk about in my next episode here, talking about the AI integration and the not just the drawbacks, but the potential benefits of that as well. I think that's something we need to explore with an open mind. I'm not encouraging you to put a microchip in your brain. So let's wait and see till I get into that podcast. Also, I'm doing another podcast for the other company I work for, formerly Crypto Viewing, now the Future Forecasting Group. Futureforecastinggroup.com is the website. And I have some podcasts I've done about 18 of them now that come out through YouTube, that come out through Twitter, and they're also available through our private site, where I have access to our remote viewers and other guests that have come on from around the world to talk about all things psychic and, interesting woo-woo, deep dive rabbit hole type of stuff. It has been a lot of fun exploring that too. So you can find that at futureforecastinggroup.com. You can find the links on the YouTube channel as well. And I'll have the links in the show description here so you can check out those podcasts if you're looking for more deep dives with some guests into things of that nature. So please check it out. And of course, if you're interested in Reiki or any of my books or any of my work here, find it at sixthsensemedia.net, sixthsensemedia.net, and then you can click on the Reiki tab, and that'll take you where you need to go. So to all of you out there, again, thank you for continuing to stick with me. This platform has been, I always say, it's been my therapy over the last, 8-10 years that I've been doing this, and it's been very rewarding for me when I'm processing these things to just have the opportunity. And what I feel, despite it being the internet, a safe place to share some of my most personal experiences with all of you out there and to be so well received. So I do appreciate every single one of you that's listening right now that has stayed with me to the end of this conversation, and hope to get more out there to you, along with more services and content and things for you to consume and to take in. I'd love to hear your thoughts and feedback. So thank you, my friends. I'm Dennis Nappy II, reminding you to never stop questioning, keep an open mind, and let your intuition be your guide. Thank you.
I said, empty your mind. Be formless. Shapeless. Like water. Now, you put water into a cup. It becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now water can flow, or it can crash. Be water, my friend. Be water, my friend. We'll be right back. water, my friend.
Water, my friend.